We'll go ahead and start the Vanguard Academy board meeting. This is Tuesday, January 22nd, 2019, and we'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, so we'll start with the roll call. This is Kent Johnson, Board Chair. We'll go around the table.
Marie Evans, Assessment Director.
Stephanie Evans, Minute Taker.
Suzanne Owen, Director.
Kathleen Kingston, Assistant Director.
Heidi Foster, Curious Attendant.
Staff Member.
There you go.
Kim Mangum, Board Member.
Darren Jenkins, Board Member.
Joni Jenkins, School Counselor.
Dorothy Thomas, Teacher.
Joy Palmer, Curriculum Director.
Okay, you're up, Scott.
Scott Kingston, Board Member.
Okay, we're good. We've barely have a quorum. The first part of our meeting will open up for public comment. We'll limit those to 3 minutes. If anybody has any public comments. If not, we'll go on to approving the minutes from last time. If anyone needs a copy of the minutes, we have a printed copy here. In fact, let's go ahead and pass that out. So all in favor of approving the minutes from last board meeting, say yes.
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 All opposed, say no. The voting is unanimous with everyone here, so we'll go ahead and approve the minutes. We'll go on to our open points, and our first item, as always, is what do we have to report on how we're including excellence at Vanguard.
Still making student announcements, getting students involved in that. We've done some spirit days and just kind of unified staff and students in that way. So we're just continuing on.
We also have on the evidence of excellence. We did mid-year testing with our 7th and 8th grade math, and our 7th grade right now is 60% proficient. So if it were the end of year, our 7th grade math would be at 60% proficient, and our 8th grade would be at 56. So that's pretty encouraging to be mid-year and to be that high. And then
how does that compare to last year?
So last year, 7th grade
at this point.
So the students that are in 7th grade right now, last year at the end of the year were 70%. The students that are in 8th grade right now, last year end of year were 49. So our 8th grade current 8th graders have already increased the amount or the percent of students that are proficient, and we're halfway through. So I think we should see, again, another year with excellent growth. So it'll be our third year in a row. And that's the other thing I wanted to mention, have up on the screen here, was our state grade. And our growth was exemplary, and our achievement was commendable. So excellent in both areas there.
So basically, I think that this shows there's four areas the state grades on.
Mm-hmm.
And two of them, you don't apply it, they're not applicable.
Yes. Yeah.
So we didn't have enough English learner student population to be reported there, and we didn't have, so the graduation rate is a year behind everything else. So the testing data was from spring of 2018, the graduation rate was from spring of 2017. So that's why it happens too low on that to be included. But the two areas that we did have enough data to be reported on, we did really well.
Another thing for excellence, we submitted our STEM designation application.
Woo.
And I did review every single piece of evidence in the entire application, and that was very affirming as to what excellence is happening in our school. There's a lot of really good things. So we are actually sending, I think Marie and Kathleen are going to go review applications on Thursday. That's when the review process happens to. We go and help review other schools who submitted theirs, and someone else will review ours. That process should be finished up very quickly.
I read a book last month called Peak as a Job Performance, and I had some notes on it and some little bit of research that I did. I sent off to somebody else, and I probably should have requested it from the after I told him about it. Grace suggested I talk about it in here, and I forgot the paper. So I can email it to, should I email it to you?
Yes.
Okay, no, the book starts out in the first chapter, and it talks about a study that was done in 2012, I remember, by a gentleman in Japan. They took 24 students between the age of 2 and 6, and they taught them how to hear tones. So they did studies in the past, and they realized that Mozart and Beethoven were probably 1 out of 10,000 that had this special ability to understand perfect pitch. This guy did a study with 24 students. Two of them dropped out, and I don't know, two of them got, the 16 that finished, all of them could do it in 2 years. Point is, of the book, of Peak, is talking about deliberate practice, and that if we do things in a certain way, then all of our students can become efficient, all the way to having perfect pitch and understanding every single tone. Now, it works better when you're younger, from 2 to 6 was the age that did it, but they've also gone back and they can show that if you do deliberate practice, then people can learn even when they're older. One guy did a study, and the average person can remember digits in a row. If you go 1, 7, 6, 9, 7 digits. The average person can do 7. If you practice a little bit, you can get up to 9. So they had a guy that did it, and he figured out ways of grouping them together, and he got up to 42. And so a new guy came along and did it to 80-something because he had the practice of the help from the first guy. And they've gotten up to like 120-something that you can do. The point of the book is that if with deliberate practice, you can improve the capabilities or the competency of everybody. There are no special talent. People have talents and tendencies, but you can bring everyone up to the level of that perfectness. There was another study they did, and they went into a physics class where they're teaching physics. The average people that graduated in the class were in the 20s, 20% that did well in the class. And so they picked certain students, and some of them they would say, okay, these are the concepts you're going to learn in the class, read the book, and then they'd go through the concepts and teach them in a certain way. It's called, they call it deliberate practice. And they brought that competency up to 68% in a short period of time. So the point of the matter is if we teach the right way, if we understand that we're not looking for students that are brilliant, students that aren't brilliant, then all of our students can become excellent. So I'll send that information over. The book's called Peak.
Yes.
Have you seen it?
But I love them.
I'll show it to you. But anyway, it was quite exciting to hear about that, about perfect pitch.
Okay.
It's not 1 in 10,000. You're not looking for the 1 in 10,000 student. You're looking to teach them in the way they want.
Yeah, good. Okay, anything else? If not, the next one is the 180-day plans. Joy says to continue checking on the teachers that haven't finished, and this can be closed once it's included on the top.
Once it's included?
In the top summary report on MRP.
What's that? So minus my
MRP. It is with it. Mm-hmm. So we probably could close
it's
that.
It's not on the school's top summary, but I guess I don't know.
So we'll close this. we'll just verify that and possibly close that off.
Okay.
So, the next item is incorporate the work release program so students can get credit.
Catherine is now working on that. It's reached her top 10, so she's in the process.
That's right. Okay, so in process. The next item is get a bid on the new exit in the assembly hall.
Still working on that.
Still working on that. We'll follow up with that. So the next one is to initiate the curriculum review packet for English and Science. And
is it?
We finished the science one. We've got a comprehensive curriculum number. We're not done. We haven't completed the process for language arts, but it has been initiated.
Okay.
So
okay.
Do we close it?
Let's keep it open until we complete it. Just so that we can. I'd like to report on it. Mm-hmm. The next one is make a proposed amendment to our charter for the 2021 year. I don't think we did that, did we?
I think that was kind of one of those random lottery things that's on my top 10, and get that.
Okay. Okay, next item is have each board member go to their and look at their MRP summary. That was the idea, I think, was to have us go log on to the shared drive and take a look at the MRPs. I'm not sure if we did we send that information out to the board members?
I don't think they've been using that file structure.
I
have a printed copy of the assessment summary and the school ed muster performance summary.
I thought Bonnie shared
for tonight,
it
via email. I don't think that there was the online other than an email with the PDF.
It, I think the goal of that was to make it so that all the board members knew that they had access to it.
It would be good if you haven't seen it in your email that says there's an email that says something shared with you that has to do with MRP to maybe email.
Last week.
Bonnie Tucker would have emailed it, so maybe.
Let's check with her and see if she can resend it, and we'll leave that open for next time.
I got one last week, and when I didn't get any access, I couldn't remember my password.
Yeah, who gives us Pat? If we forget
I think
our
it's password. Just your, if you're not in your Vanguard account, you would just sign in to Google through your Vanguard. You just make sure it was your Vanguard email.
I went to a Vanguard account, I couldn't remember my password.
Okay.
Who refreshes this?
Can we just give it to you after this meeting and show us how to log in here?
I'm not sure how to log in. I think I'll check with TechRite.
We can help you. We can have you change your password tonight.
I'll talk to TechRite and make sure that you have access to your password.
Do we know what date the email was sent out?
I will just ask her to send it again. I'm not sure on the date.
Okay, yeah, we'll see if we can get that sent out to all the any teacher that needs help or any of the board members that need help getting on to the shared drive. We can help with us. The next item is to send a copy of the GPS plan to Scott.
I did send that to him, and he said he didn't have anyone that could work on it right now, but recently he had someone that turned in an application for a job that
it did
would. Is interested in helping us, but some of that stuff to go.
And I did forward that information. I don't know if the governance committee's had a chance to look at it. I did forward the application that was interested in being a part of that. And Rebecca Lucas,
showed me the quote from Power School on that portion of it. So as soon as she sends that to me, I was going to forward that as well, so that we could look at that comparison.
Did you get a copy of that, Scott? The GPS? Are you still?
Is Scott still there?
Looks like he's gone.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, good.
I didn't get a copy of it. Is that the one Joni?
Yeah.
Gave him? Yeah, I did get a copy of that. We were going to work with Rebecca to see if they could
Program it. Or automate it. Do you want us to leave that point open, or is that, should we close it?
Yeah, probably leave it open until we finalize the design.
Okay. Okay, so we'll leave that open as well, and that's the end of the open points. And we'll move on to the director's report. And actually, I wonder if we had a, could we change the order of the items, just so we can take care of the vote before David needs to leave?
That'd be helpful. Thank you.
If it's okay with everyone, we'd like to jump to the voting on the charter agreement. And everyone has been sent out copies. I don't know if everybody's had a chance to review it. We have copies here if anybody wants to. This is the only part that is different than the standard state agreement.
The standard agreement for all charter schools is the first portion of it, and then those last few pages are Vanguard specific to our charter.
So we'll turn that over to Suzanne to kind of, if there's anything else we need to talk about with them. Any questions? I think the goal is if we feel comfortable with it tonight, we'd like to vote it, sign on it.
Yeah, it's to the stage that it needs to be adopted by our board in order to run by this agreement. And so I have been working with Rebecca Cisneros up at the state, the charter board. She has reviewed it. She has provided her input. I sent it back to her. We've gone through, I think, 3 iterations of it. Until we got to this point, she felt satisfied that it was acceptable. I felt satisfied that it was acceptable. I sent it up to her, and it was sent to the Island House. I don't remember how to say her name, but it's been approved by the state board, because it went through the charter board, went to the state board, and now it just needs that final adoption by our board. That's the process it's gone through, and it's been reviewed and approved at all those levels.
Did we have legal counsel review it on our behalf?
Not on our behalf. Most of the document, as I stated before, I know that UAPCS did have some legal counsel looking at it. There were several. It's been kind of like a year in the making. At each director's meeting, they would go over it and question this part of it or question that part of it and get clarification on different parts of it throughout that process. So the whole document has been reviewed by legal counsel, but not Vanguard's legal counsel. And then, like I say, those last few pages that are stamped final, those are Vanguard's Exhibit A. And that is the portion of this document that is specific to Vanguard.
I have a question, and I think you told me this before, but I don't remember, but on here it talks about, it says students will take music, math, and science classes every year.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't specify how many credits. What was it that they said?
That's what was written in our original charter, and I did ask her, because as we were going through the iterations, I asked her what if, you know, a student graduates early, what if, you know, they take, if we stated, should it be stated that if Vanguard students would take music every year they attend Vanguard? And she said in order for that verbiage to change, it does need to go through an amendment process. Because this is, the words are taken directly from our original charter.
So if we make any changes to this, then it has to be an amendment?
Yes.
they tell you along the way of that process what happens if we fall out of compliance with our charter agreement?
They have, and that's one reason that the state observer was going to come. We have to maintain compliance of the charter no matter which format it is in.
Right.
So, yeah, it could result in any kind of reprimand up to any kind of withholding of whatever or removal or canceling of the charter. There's usually a due process, and they give you a chance to rectify any errors or to implement things that we don't, if we were not to have implemented things. So
once we adopt this, how long do we have to become in compliance with the agreement? If we're not.
We're expected to be in compliance. Again, this is not a different document. It's a different document. It's not different requirements from our original charter. So we are operating under the original charter, which is just summarized here.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything in this right now that we're not fully in compliance with?
The reason the question came up on the music and the math, when we have students who graduate early, then you know, it's a little vague in the way it's stated in our charter. So it's stated that they will take it every year or something.
That's better. It will be flexible.
Well, not necessarily. It might be better if we choose to make any kind of amendment to state specifically that they will take those courses every year they attend Vanguard, with the expectation that if they're here for the 4 high school years, they would have 4 credits of each.
It doesn't say that they would take a full credit for the year.
Yeah, it just
so they
says
could take,
they
could take music, or they will take it.
Yeah.
It doesn't say how much they'll take.
I like the answer.
Yeah. So.
And you have a certified STEAM coordinator?
That is we call it the curriculum coordinator, but that is Joy.
It's not like a STEAM certification or anything. I read through. I didn't see anything that I thought was.
I think this is a lot more clear than our pick one.
Yeah, it's just taking that 200-page document down into these pages.
This makes a lot more sense to try to.
And that's what they're doing for all charters that.
There was a little bit on the back. It listed the. I think it's our targets of percent of the very top of the last page. The standards for the school. It says specific college education plan, percentage of students completing a post-secondary academic plan. And we have it as meets it as our target is at greater than 95%. And is that means that you expect greater than 95% of our students after graduating to attend secondary
plan.
To at least have a plan.
A plan of what they're going to do after.
Not necessarily a college plan, but just a plan of
Correct. Work
or anything.
Yes, because our mission is that they would excel in college and careers.
So it's an academic plan.
It does mean
yes.
School.
So it could be training, it doesn't have to be college. College is some sort of. Yeah.
Or any job.
Yeah.
It doesn't say that the careers part isn't in line 4.
On what?
In item number 4, it doesn't say college.
Which is
it's
correct.
Original.
I think that that's the original mission, and
original.
I think we added the end careers in there.
Mm-hmm. And I know so.
Later.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have
that.
Yeah.
Again, on that amendment paper, there is a place there that we can amend our mission.
Okay, so this is how
we
would do it.
So if we feel like that we want to amend it to include the M careers, we are operating under that. You know, we're not isolating academics as being, you know, the college as being the only route out. Of obviously, we want a high percentage. Not all of our kids, but
I remember that.
Yeah.
So I guess the comment I would say is we need to have a place where we note things like that.
Yeah.
And if we have an amendment, that would be something that we would
do at that time.
Yeah.
It may not be enough to initiate going for an amendment.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that criteria of 95% is still met by that.
So I think based on what we're operating under today, we can't amend, but this would simplify our life a little bit and make it a little bit more straightforward with the state, more in compliance. So.
Is there any plan in place to have it reviewed by internal counsel?
I didn't make any plans to do that, no.
We will.
I don't necessarily think we need to before we vote or approve this, but it would be nice to know if we were in compliance with everything. Mm-hmm. If we don't know that, I think we need to at least know whether we are or not. Mm-hmm. And then if we're not, then do the amendment.
That's the plan. Mm-hmm. So can you make an open point for that? To have legal review the charter agreement?
Not just the Exhibit A, but the entire agreement. There's so many things happening each year at the legislature. It's hard to keep track of it all unless you got somebody specifically assigned to see what has changed and to make sure that you're...
And who should we have that
on?
So David's opening it, but is he going to... initiate it?
I think Suzanne is going to have to, either Suzanne or Kathleen. I'll push it through and
it does have one thing on here, the terms of office, and I don't know if we're following that or I guess we can't be seeing anything or we need to look at it.
We do
10C. I saw that too. That is a concern.
Yeah, we do need to.
Does that mean you know for term of office, until you get reelected in the same office? Or just...
You can, but there must be. It must be formalized. It must happen. Yeah. In the.
So I think we're in our fourth year. Right?
There's some beliefs that are
fourth operational.
Yeah. So that means the vice president, secretary. So we. The PTSO, I think, has changed enough, but we do need to hold elections and go through that process. So, so we probably have to make an open point on that as well. Do you want to make an open point on that?
Hold elections for the board positions of appeals.
So we just need to address that.
No, it's actually not.
So,
Darren opened
that, right?
Mm-hmm. Which?
I don't
know. So who should that open point be for to hold this?
I think that's going to have to be the board. So
put that on you?
Yeah, I think so.
Just to say,
okay. So, but this isn't any different than what's already in the agreement.
Correct.
So this doesn't affect whether we're in compliance or not. Any more discussion? Do we feel comfortable moving forward with this document and signing it, or do we?
It's been reviewed pretty heavily by you.
I feel comfortable with it, yes. And like I said, I know that through the past year, as they were creating and preparing this document, that it did go through legal review at the Charter Board office and legal review with the UAPCS. They did have multiple questions. They addressed a few things. There were some amendments to it that they made changes. It has been a work in progress for a while. So I feel comfortable, but I don't have any problem getting our own legal counsel to look at it and make sure that we are in compliance.
I would recommend we do. Not before we approve it, but so the first chance we would have, I read through this, I think you have to have the amendment submitted to some deadline before they meet, which like the third Friday of the month prior to their meeting?
Yes.
So is that every month that you could, if you wanted to amend, you can amend next month?
It's about a 3-month process, because it has to, what she explained is it has to go through, first our board has to approve, then it goes up to the state charter board for approval. Then it goes to the Utah State Board of Education Committee for approval. Then it goes to the Board of Education Board for approval. So it is those step processes, and they meet once a month too. So that's the reason. So the third whatever day of each month, that's when the UAPCS, or not UAPCS, but the State Charter Board meets. That's when their meeting is. So you have to get it to them by that time, so they can put it on their calendar for review. And then once that's passed, then it goes up to the committee, then it goes up to the board on their next meeting so that they can get that approved.
So practically speaking, it could take 4 to 6 months for an amendment to go all the way through.
On there it says that for the USBE to review. If you look on that last page for those USBE review or amendments, it says that it would take approximately 3 to 4 months. Rebecca told me that if I get it to her by the 24th, and honestly, I was thinking it's the 24th of January, but it could be the 24th of February, that she could probably have it reviewed and approved and back for approval or whatever by April.
Okay.
But I think if we have anything we want to amend, we can actually start that process immediately.
Yeah.
And have them go concurrently.
Okay.
So, yeah, some things I don't think have to go clear up to USBE and go through that process. I think it's particularly those things that have to go clear up to the state level.
So if everyone's comfortable, we could go ahead and vote on it tonight and then sign the document. Or we can delay that, whatever we feel comfortable with.
So we've had this before us for 2 or 3 meetings now.
Mm-hmm.
So there is some urgency to get it done. Remind us again.
If we're going to do any kind of request for a waiver, then if we don't have this adopted by our board, then it may take longer for any waiver request to go through, because they will have to go from the original charter agreement to make the decision on the waiver.
So that affects the 180-day waiver that we're also
expecting? It does. It affects any waiver that we put through.
Okay.
So basically the process will speed up.
Okay.
So Phil, if we've had this for a while to review, I think if there's, we can wait still for the first. I feel pretty comfortable with it. So.
I think as long as we know it can be amended and we're going to start the process of putting it under review of our council, then I feel comfortable voting on it tonight.
So we need a motion.
Yep. We need a motion to vote.
Okay, I move that we...
We're voting to adopt.
To adopt this Exhibit A concerning our charter.
So all in favor of adopting Exhibit A, say yes.
Yes.
Yes. As
are you still there, Scott?
Does he need to announce his
answer?
Might have cut off.
Yeah, he sounds like he's gone. That would be, why don't we go ahead and have David announce, since you came late.
Yes, I came late. David Kingston is now present, vice chair.
Okay. So the voting, all opposed to the amending for approving the Exhibit A, say no. There is a quorum, the voting is unanimous, so it's been approved. And we'll pass the document around, have everyone sign it, and that concludes
Exhibit A. And then I'll send it up to the state.
So last page here. Have the board members vote or sign it. We'll go on to the next item as that's being passed around. The next item up for vote is the request for waiver for 180-day rule. Do you want to go ahead and go over that?
Yes, and there are copies there, and the main part that applies to Vanguard, there again, that document is a 11-page document or 8-page document that if you want to make any kind of waiver or amendment to our charter, then you go through that process with this very same form. So you just go through the form to see what waivers or amendments you're looking to seek. So for this particular document, the only one we're looking at is on the last page of the document, and it is to amend board rule, the minimum school days, and it's stated there in that last paragraph. It's the narrative that I put together. I did send this up to Rebecca just today for review, Rebecca Cisneros, to see if that is sufficient. But when she talked to me through it before, again, we just we'll go through those four levels because it is something that does require the USBE to approve as well at their meeting level. So the purpose, or what we're requesting, is a waiver of the 180-day school rule. I'm requesting that we reduce that down to 175 days. And the primary purpose for that is to better align our school year with that of the Salt Lake Community College, other concurrent enrollment colleges as well, but primarily Salt Lake Community College. To start a few days before them is actually beneficial. So I wouldn't recommend waiving any more than the 5 days, because it really helps to be able to get our kids into our classes, get started with the process of getting textbooks and get them a chance to start reading up and getting prepared for their college classes. So I think that we want to make sure we're keeping enough days in there to do that. But what would happen is at the end of each of the Salt Lake Community College semesters, we would have approximately 3 to 5 days remaining of high school only. We have a good percentage of our students, and I was going to ask Heidi Foster if I could get that percentage, and I forgot to ask, but we have a large percentage of our 9th through 12th grade students taking at least one college class. And when the college classes come to a close, then they have, in essence, holes in their schedule. That time needs to be filled doing something. And so to be better productive, I would like them to be able to move on, and either if they're going to be graduating and go take some college classes in the summer semester, it frees up their time to be able to do that, to go and start in some of the businesses, some of the different entities that they could go to work, or anyway, to just use their time more productively rather than really having holes in their schedule and having kids running amok in the building, I guess. So that's the purpose of it. So what would happen is it in essence allows us to end the school year 1 week after the finals in the college. And again, we'd have 1 week after finals in December, 1 week after finals in May, and that would allow us to not start too soon in the year, and again, not have those extra days at the end of the year with a lot of holes in a lot of students.
College year is about 175 for 2 semesters?
Well, no, we've got more days in than the college does. Again, we start a minimum of 2 days before the college semester starts, and then we end a minimum of 5 days after the semester has ended. So we still, in any given semester, we're still attending between 7 and 10 days more than the college does, even with the amendment. But the rule states that we have to be in session for 180 school days and 990 hours. With the amendment of 170 days, as I put on the calendar that I shared with you all, there we still are getting over 1,000 hours of instruction, even if we go to the 175 days. So we're meeting the minimum school requirement of the hours. And that would be one of the things that the state would look at to say, you know, because
we don't want to shorten instructional time. We don't want to remove that. That needs to still be in place. So we're still going to get the instructional hours. We just have an extended school day compared to most other typical schools. And so we have more hours in any given day of instructional time than most schools have.
And 180 days, is that a general state requirement?
Yes. And what that's for grades 1 through, it's either 1 or 2 through 12. I think it's 1 through 12. Kindergarten is like 169 or something like that. The state also allows for 3 days to be counted, instructional days to be counted for the parent-teacher conference time, back-to-school night, for a maximum of 16.5 hours. So we can count it as 3 days and 16.5 hours. Again, that has to be calculated in the days calculation. It has to be calculated in the hours calculation. As long as school is in session for a minimum of 4 hours in any given day, it can count as a full day. And then there's the legislation several years ago put in the allowance for one school day to be used for legislative or for professional development. And so that one day is there too. So in essence, you have 177 days with the legislative professional development day. And then those other 3 days to make up the 180 are coming from parent-teacher conference and back-to-school nights. So if you look at the calendar that I submitted to you, there are 171 school days plus one legislative professional development plus the 3 back-to-school night and parent-teacher conference days, which makes a total of 175.
Should this time include the after-school program?
No. The time does not include the after-school program.
It says until 3:15 right here.
Sorry, what?
Right here it says the school day will be Monday through Thursday, 8 a.m. to 3:50 p.m.
I might have copied the older one. I did adjust that to say 3:15 because originally I was thinking we may need to go to 3:50 in order to get those hours, and we did not. The hours that were calculated to make over 1,000 hours were going from 8 o'clock to 3:15. And you cannot count passing time, and you cannot count student lunch time.
It's only in class time.
Only in class time.
So you've corrected the typo here from 50 to 15?
It should be okay. 3:15.
Okay. The paragraph also references opportunities that will be provided to students after the school year ends. Can you explain maybe what you're giving the students then after the school year ends?
Does it say that it would be provided?
Yeah.
I thought it was providing them time that they could take part in those opportunities. That was my intent.
Okay,
so
I was wondering if Vanguard was providing them something or if they will just have the opportunity now that they're out
they
of school.
They would have the opportunity now that they're out of school.
Okay, that wasn't quite clear.
So I will adjust the wording on that.
Looks good otherwise.
Any more questions? Dr. Nissel, once we adopt this and it gets approved, then we would adopt the schedule to go along with it at some point.
Yeah, you always need to adopt the calendar and the schedule.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So before the act, this gives us the opportunity to schedule 175 days, but we would still have to approve that as a board.
Yes, you would have to approve the calendar itself and the bell schedule and everything to verify that you are meeting that hourly requirement. Because that has to be met anyway. They're not going to waive both. You have to provide that instruction. Which we need to anyway. And we have to be in compliance with concurrent enrollment classes too. So.
You feel comfortable voting in this tonight, or?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think if...
And this is an application for it, we don't even know if they're going to grant it or not.
Correct. Again, it has to be approved at 3 levels above us.
And then if they do approve it, we can decide how to implement that here. I feel comfortable pushing it through if everyone else does.
Yeah, should we call out the amendments that we're making just specifically so we know what we're voting on? Or?
Yeah, let's.
So did you have other changes, Suzanne?
The third paragraph down, to align our school year to more closely align, take that second align out. It would be to align our school year more closely with Salt Lake Community College's schedule.
Should that sentence be, or should the third paragraph be the same font as the rest of it?
Is it not?
It's two. Three lines.
That's really strange. I typed it on the Word document and pasted it in.
This is cool.
This is different. I noticed that too.
Maybe paragraph and type and all of a sudden it'll start.
And what other modifications are there?
There's students will have opportunities to just clarify the opportunity after school ends opportunities, and the 3:50 goes to 3:15.
Okay, so do you want to, should we state the changes one more time, just for the record, and then if we feel comfortable, we can vote on it.
Yes, on paragraph 3, to remove the second word align so that it reads better and it's not quite as messy. About middle of the last paragraph, students will, rather than saying students will subsequently be provided, we would cross out subsequently be provided and put in the word have. So students will have opportunities to utilize time after the school year ends. And then changing the ending time of the school day on Monday through Thursday from 3:50 to 3:15.
On that top one, you actually have to take off two as well, two aligners, school year, more closely. So, more closely.
Sorry, what?
Not a verb. You have to take out the word align and the word two words of the word. Align our school year more closely, solid,
okay, take out the word two as well.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Any other changes? Do we have a motion?
A motion to approve the application for shortening the school.
With the changes stated? So all in favor of adopting the request waiver for the 180-day rule with the stated changes, say yes?
Yes.
All opposed, say no. So the voting is unanimous. The approval or the waiver request has been approved. And we'll go on to our next items on the report. Go to the director's report.
Okay. Kathleen, are you going to present that? I did ask Kathleen to present the director's report tonight.
We have been working to get the management reporting to try to be the director's report, so we printed the top summary. And it's been a couple hours for So we've been trying to use the data that's been coming up in the packets to create the top summary, and that way you would be able to review it for each of the main
business or building leadership team members, the executive teams. That's where the data comes.
So we just pulled the data from theirs, and so that's our goal is to make it so that it's just feeding up. So if you, after reviewing it, if you want to know more about a particular area, that would be helpful to know the best way to review theirs and make sure it's reported up correctly. We're working to get it online even more than just the Google Drive, but we're still working on that.
At the very top, you have all the classes, science, social studies, etc. Average class grade. Is that an average class grade for all the students from 7 to 12 in that topic? So for science, class grade has a number of 30th. Average is 86%. Is that the average class grade for all science classes from 7th grade to 12th grade?
Yes.
So it's for both schools.
Is that correct, Marie?
Yes. Not very loud, sorry.
So, I don't know. It's kind of nice to review the data, and if you have questions, we can.
Okay. If we,
Suzanne and I are working towards our next step is to start meeting with each department on a regular basis to go through it and kind of make progress and changes where look at what's going well and what needs to change.
Okay, any questions on either the top summary or the directors? We need to address with the directors.
In this section it says student enrollment, it says number of students graduating early, number of students not returning. Does that mean it's students that are leaving without graduating? Or
it's
graduating?
Like they're going to another school.
Okay.
So it says we have 45 seats available for new students?
This came from Andrea's packet. Is it? I know. Is that accurate? So I saw how
showing 45 seats open. Another question, is this status mid-year?
This would have been as of December 21st, end of December, when the quarter ended.
So that means in the December 21st, there were 44 students we thought were leaving mid-year.
So that's a question. Right here. I would assume that...
Well, actually, we have 44 seniors graduating, so I'm assuming that means that we have 44 students not returning next year because they're seniors and they're graduating.
Then that would be the point that it makes sense. But if we have students that are leaving because of graduation, it should be clearly identified.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah. Yeah.
And,
and this is a projected number. That'd be open students for students for 2019.
Yeah.
So this could be updated quarterly projected, but it's based on the end of the year.
Does that mean that we're going to be under enrolled by 44 students next year?
No, because this doesn't account for incoming seventh graders, and there's about 68 seventh graders at our feeder school. 68 sixth graders at our feeder school.
68 sixth graders?
Yes.
Are we expecting
so I don't know how many of them are planning on coming, but that's how many are there.
44, 47, 47.
I was back to that earlier point that we might need to look at.
So we missed it this year.
Just trying to remember when the deadline was. I know we've talked about it. We should have at least a change, like any suggestions that we have for amendments.
And who's that for?
Who opened that and who's it assigned to?
I'll open it. But actually, Kim is the one that made us sign this.
And who's that assigned to?
Yeah, it's just a place to track.
44 12th graders?
41 of them graduate from 11th grade, or would it just be?
Probably. We're just talking about making a placeholder for if we have any changes or recommendations.
Any charter amendments?
Charter amendments.
So if we're wondering that we may want to make a change in the next couple of years, we have a placeholder so that it's not lost and forgotten, and to include it in the MRP somewhere. So Kim opened that open point.
And the first one.
I think it would be a new form.
I think the first recommended change would be to increase our enrollment numbers.
She said the deadline is 18 months. So 18 months before.
Means now,
you have to submit it 18 months before you want it to go into action, right?
So there's not a yearly, it's just 18, so we need to get.
The process takes that long.
So we can.
We haven't missed our deadline yet.
So the deadline for the 2021 year is about now.
Are we 6 months in?
I believe when we were looking at it before, it was June or July. Would be that final deadline. I thought it was.
So it's not the start of the school year.
Or
I think we just pushed it.
It's like 18 months before the start of the school year we want to change.
Isn't that right?
2021.
Give or take.
Yes.
A few weeks.
Yes. And I think you would look at. Randomly that amount because it is quite a procedure, and from what they said, and I thought they were reviewing those. In fact, I forwarded to you at the state board, they were reviewing those satellite schools because anything that's going to, you know, you have a satellite school or you have another school or you increase your enrollment when you're changing things because it impacts budgets, and they are budgeting far in advance for the upcoming school year, and that's one reason that you have to get those requests in sooner, because they have to budget at the state level for that money to go to a school if you're increasing enrollment or have another school or something like that, because it's a significant financial burden on the state, and they have to transfer that money from somewhere, and they just have to identify that in their own budgets. So that's one reason that it's so, but it does require the buy-in and the absolute passionate support of the board itself, of every school board or board member. And every board member must have the presentation of that, and every board member will be asked questions or be expected to give input. not to just sit back and let somebody present. It has to be, they have to be convinced that our entire board is in favor of that request.
And it, our school grade will make a big difference on it?
Yes. Our grade, because if we're going to try to increase enrollment, are we going to make that positive impact on those additional kids, or are we going to pull them down?
It's a similar process to the original charter.
Any, because it's not just an amendment, it's a size.
Yes. Yeah, this amendment doesn't adjust finances on the state level. It doesn't increase our WPU or any other pot of money. It doesn't change that at all. But increasing school numbers, the numbers in the school in general, does make a difference on a financial level.
Would it make sense to prepare a document or a report that's showing what it would take to do, to take that step?
Yeah, and I wonder, they may even have something there. I'll ask Rebecca Cisneros if they've got something.
I think they do, yeah.
It seems like they do, but yeah, you attended at least part of that meeting where they discussed it, right?
Mm-hmm. So it'd be nice to have everything listed that we could kind of review. Maybe take an item, or take a board meeting and review it and see how close we are, how ready we are.
Okay. Yeah. Probably needs to release. And I think the deadline is actually middle February, if it's 18 months. Prior to the start of 2020.
I honestly can't remember. In my mind, I'm just thinking 18.
When we listened to the podcast or the presentation, it was actually within a month of when we would have had to apply. And it may have been the time we would have had to present and go through the whole process before we even give the application.
So right now we missed the 2020 start. Any considerations would be for 2021?
I think so.
According to Kathleen, pulled this up, and rule R277-482-7 charter school expansion requests. It has a few things that you can look at. It says on number three, so it's under B and number three, if the charter school authorizer lets you know.
It's number three, because I'm three.
It is. If the charter school authorizer approves the charter school expansion, the expansion shall be submitted to the board for approval before October 1st of the state fiscal year prior to the school's intended expansion date. That's if the charter school authorizer approves. That's at the state charter board level. So we would have to create ours and submit it to, prior to their meeting. They would have to authorize it and submit it to the board by to October 1st. And it's similar to this, it's a 3-month process to get to those levels. Mm-hmm. So I think that's where we were looking, because October 1st is when the state USBE has to receive that approval from the charter board, no later than that.
So we would have to, the sooner the better, as soon as we.
That's kind of even a question, is when you want it time-wise, because do you want to make small incremental jumps of 25 or 50, or do you want to try to make, if it's a huge process, do you want to try to make a bigger jump of maybe 100 to 100, which would you consider? Which would the school want to do?
Very good question. Depends on how many enrollment spots you want.
Yeah, how much, how big and how soon.
And I wonder if a request could be made that, similar to when we opened, we started with this and then increased by this and then increased by that. I don't know if that's something that we could do.
That'd be ideal.
Because I know when we did it, it's because we started with just grades 7 through 10, and then we increased to 11, which is why our enrollment numbers increased, and then we increased to expand to 12. So that's the reason those numbers jumped then, but I don't know.
Probably some just forecasting.
Yeah, I think we need to do a little bit of research on it.
Number of voting items, is there?
Yeah, no.
You don't mind, ask to be excused?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes.
Thanks, guys.
Okay.
Thanks.
Since we don't have a quorum, I wonder if we gotta just zip through the last ones. We have a finance committee report.
Just gonna call Scott back and see if he can be there, but.
Why don't we jump over to the governance committee? We're actually in the process of trying to automate some of the MRP. And so, we did.
Yeah, that's good.
We're, how close are we to having our, current MRP? So how close are we to having our current?
Sorry, we just, Kathleen and I just reviewed it, so we're getting ready to compile it. That's our top summary as we speak. That's the current MRP. So it's not even in the MRP yet. That's our current top summary for our MRP, and that should be out probably by tomorrow. We have it put together.
I think it should
ready
be
to
all together and put to upload.
Okay. Okay, maybe we'll move on to go back to the finance committee then. Let you.
So the finance data is also on there. I was working on a report that I did get reviewed by Grace and Scott did the review on my first draft. So they reviewed the first portion, and then Scott reviewed the next step of it and has asked me to change it to give a better summary of the program accounting so that we can see the how the funds are being allocated and where, if possible, there is a place to move from one program to another, or anyway, what we want to use that for in the different programs that are financially available. So I am working on that summary, and I will, if I can get it ready by the packet tomorrow, I will put that in there as well. So the there and my I didn't write a note. I was thinking about it earlier, but I don't know if I did. The when we went to the last training, I have been taking Aaron Andrews to the finance training, so they talked about mid-year updates. I think after we do get that data and the finance committee reviews it, it might be a good idea to review and do a mid-year update of the budget. We have had the construction to split the classrooms. So if you look at the percentage on the 400 category, it is higher in that category. And in the 500, we are working on a checklist to make sure that we don't overlook. As we were preparing that, there was the insurance expense. It's not a significant dollar amount, but as far as a percentage amount, we are double what we expected because we left that category out.
Is that the cafeteria plan and the
no, the property. The property and the employer. So there are a couple small things that when we originally budgeted, those amounts were left out. We're still within, and we are, as far as the overall bottom line, we're still above where we originally planned to be for the year end.
Mm-hmm.
And we just need to relook at how we want to allocate that. So there are a few areas where we received additional funding, and there were a few expenses that we did not consider when the original budget was created.
Does the state require a process to reallocate?
So every year, at the end of the year, you guys have reviewed and approved any updated or changed budgets.
Mm-hmm.
And so it has happened at the end of the year. We go through and a lot of times it's pretty close to it. And if there's any changes, it's always reviewed and approved. But they are saying that it's better to make a mid-year adjustment to give you better of steering capabilities.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's in line with what I'm being asked for with that report with the program budgeting. As we're getting into it, now that I've got Aaron to be able to keep the data more accurate and up to date, that we can have make it more timely as to what is available in a particular program, that we can say this is available, we can do this.
So if they make an adjustment on the budget, do we need to approve it at that point again?
So that's what we would need to do
as a board.
And I would just go through the process of working with Vaughn at the state to see whether, I'm not sure whether that would be a new report through the UPES system, which is the financial system that I report to. So I just need to find out for sure if we do the mid-year update, whether we upload that to their system, or if that's just something we can use as a working document to say we're now going to change this a little bit and we're going to increase here. And anyway, so that's what I'm working on, and I'm hoping to have that report finalized to go in the official MRP tomorrow to give that better view of each program.
Okay. Okay, we'll go to the item number 6, the academic assessment.
So part of my summary was included on the school's top summary, but the assessment summary wasn't included, and then some of the information on the operations assessment or summary. So you can see those on there. The assessment, so there's two different forms. Yep, this one and this one. The assessment summary is predictive as to how things look that they'll be at the end of the year. And I don't have anything else other than if you have questions. And then, yeah, that's what I was going to say. I'll just go ahead and get the computer started for the next one.
They came from Stephanie's 8th grade, and he says getting those kids, I noticed their predictive score is much higher than our 10th graders. So that shows the kids have been in our school for longer.
Yeah, he has commented a few times that his physics students are much better than they he felt like it was the math foundation that they received the year before, and they're younger than what he had gotten in the past as well.
So the on the ELA writing, we have a teacher that's at 5%. Is that because of assessment or lack of?
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to meet with her over that yet. I'm not.
Is that accurate or is that?
That is what it showed in the report from the testing program, and it is the interim in the RISE system, which is the new stage system. I haven't had a chance to meet with her yet and find out. The other thing too is that not 100% of the students had finished, but the majority had.
Been operating for 7th grade.
It's not required by the state, so there wasn't an interim. However, we have asked all of our teachers, obviously they're still teaching that, and we're still asking them to do the monthly Utah compose like we had, and the on the overall school summary, then you can see the results from the different programs. So there's a table for the Alex Math, the Reading Plus, the Utah Compose, Reason Through Theory and Science Bits. Reason Through Theory and Science Bits, we did not have data yet, but all the other programs that we've implemented in Vanguard do have data, and those are on that cute little table that would be easier to do. Larger, but which is a little
So this seems kind of low for the ACT.
Yes, it does. And we're working on it. It is.
Put your back in.
What do we need? Okay. Don't we need to be up in the 60s?
Well, if you look at our That's one thing I noticed on our chart looking this year.
ACT.
She could look at
school CEO.
Does it say, oh, SHMOOP or ACT?
What is SHMOOP?
SHMOOP is the program the state provides to help prepare kids for the ACT.
Well, it seems like last year that was pretty predictive of what the score was going to be.
It was. It was really close. And if you look at the charter, I noticed that tonight. To meet our target, we would be 70% or higher. To exceed would be 80% or higher.
So we're
we have more work to do in 5 weeks.
Do we have a plan?
What did you say?
Our ACT scores are looking pretty low. Do we have a plan in place? Or does that, or what do you?
I know Josh Carlin has been doing a lot with his class on the ACT prep, getting him ready. He's taking it very serious. He's doing what he can. In the other areas, I haven't talked to the math department, but they're always trying to, you know, and get it better. We talked a little bit about the ACCUPLACER as well in math, because our kids seem to have a really hard time getting those scores where they need to be, and I don't know if it's testing strategies or something.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we are going to be doing, getting tomorrow, we're actually scheduled to get onto the ACT site and platform with all the kids that are going to take it. And we're going to make sure that our system can handle the load when our kids get on to take the ACT. Mm-hmm. And then we have scheduled one Friday that we are going to do a mock ACT. So we're going to take them through the process of a timed assessment throughout a 4-hour time period so that they can feel that, you know, the sense of taking that test. So taking the test the first time through isn't like a deer in the headlights. You know, they should have at least a little bit of background in that. So we're going that direction, and we probably need to find some kind of motivation, kind of like with our SAGE, you know, to go in and say, you know, how are we going to do, and make it that important for our kids. Last year when they took it, you know, there was kind of miscommunication. Some of the teachers realized that they were going to do it. A lot of kids that had taken it the year before as 10th graders on their own didn't realize that they were required to take it with our school, so they didn't take any time to kind of get prepped and practice and ready for it. So we're trying to get some of those things in place and motivate them so that they know they at least, yeah, you are taking the ACT, and try to get them to the place where they can be successful.
Okay. Part of the assessment presentation and what we're going to do to bring up scores is our added presentation. We have one of our team members that came just for this presentation. These two, is that right?
Yeah, let's go
through
this quickly.
It's at the top.
Our team was asked to check into the AVID program to see if it could benefit our school. One of the most important things that we found with the AVID program is that it's built on the idea that every single student should be able to get 100% mastery in every single subject. Vanguard is a great candidate for the AVID program because we have a high population of first-generation college students, and we also have a high population of low socioeconomic status students. Our language arts scores are lacking, as well as our reading scores, and we have many teachers who have been asking for training on study skills, and this program provides all of those things. AVID is a national program and has curriculum designed to support students in a challenging college preparatory course of study. The program places special emphasis on writing, critical thinking, teamwork, organization, and reading skills. Their mission is to close the achievement gap by preparing all students for college readiness and success in a global society. And this will help us to reach our goal of 100% mastery. AVID activities include a focus on college, career, citizenship, leadership, motivation, and discipline. One component of the AVID program is the AVID elective class. As you can see on this sample week, Vanguard students on a block schedule will spend half of each class period learning the pre-designed, research-based best practices AVID curriculum. The other half of the period is spent on tutorials where students work together with teammates on points of confusion from their other classes. AVID is a team-focused, building-wide model, so their training and implementation is whole team, which includes site and district administrators, career advisors and counselors, academic counselors and teacher coaches, the AVID coordinator and subject area teachers. Educator professional learning from AVID is structured in a way that shows participants how to instill effective systematic change needed to create gifted schools and college-ready cultures on our campuses. Some of the benefits from AVID include having a growth mindset embedded throughout the curriculum, culturally relevant teaching, which moves educators away from the deficit model toward validating what each student brings. AVID also helps move from teacher-directed instruction to student-centered individualized learning. AVID is a school-wide approach where all veteran teachers will use the AVID strategies and worker lesson planning components in their daily lessons. Teachers will need to attend a hands-on training where they learn AVID strategies by doing them, making it easier to know how to implement these strategies. Beginning with the 2019-2020 school year, the AVID elective will improve the 7th, 8th, and 9th grade learning essentials and career orientation classes. This will be a full-year course. AVID will provide a curriculum and many additional resources. 10th through 12th grade students will be able to join the AVID program as an elective choice. Each grade level curriculum has a focus specific to the needs of the students. We talked to students enrolled in AVID. We were impressed by their use of vocabulary as well as their understanding and knowledge of the strategies embedded within AVID. Some of the students provided testimonials that they really appreciated the staff that was AVID. They said they cared more about them, they were involved more in their lives. They appreciated the help that they got from the tutorials. They felt like they had better time management skills. One student said that before AVID, people would tell her, "You need to go to college, you need to go to college." Now she has a proper college perspective. She knows what it means, and she knows what she's going to do to get there. We already have the vision of some AVID strategies, such as Cornell Notes, SQ3R, the binder, SLANT, and the growth mindset. We recommend that Vanguard Academy become an AVID school. It's by taking a good set of tools and adding the power necessary to succeed in the 21st century and achieve our goal of 100% mastery as we endeavor to create 100% work.
Thank you for sending us to the AVID training. Now when I say Vanguard, you say rocks.
Vanguard rocks! Okay, well, that's our
presentation for what we
learned.
Unless
anyone has questions. So
the recommendation is a yes?
Yeah. So it's going to come. I know most of our finance committee isn't even here, but we'll just re-present to them. There's a big number.
It's a significant investment, but it's an investment in our people and our kids. And I think one of the powers of the program as they presented to us would be that teacher training, so that it creates that buy-in, helps them own the program and move it forward to the kids. So, you know, it's a significant price tag, but again, I think our job is to select what's going to be best in professional development and our curriculum itself to really move our kids. And I think that this might just be one of those big tickets.
So what's the price tag?
Right, the startup here from the sounds of it is right around $13,000. And then it's a $4,000 a year maintenance.
So annually every year would be $4,000?
And it could be more depending on how many people you send to training.
Yeah.
But that's about what it is. Yeah.
What's the $4,000 a year maintenance?
That was my question, and Joy was researching into that.
What all that brings. But one thing it does bring is a coach for your school that will come and do site visits, go into visit teachers' classrooms and help them understand how to use the curriculum.
So that would be one of the things during the mid-year update for budget we would want to look at.
I would do it at least 3 years and then, yeah.
So.
And the first 3 years of training, it builds upon the previous year, so you don't get the same training for 3 years, and then
at that point, you're
yeah.
Home for
2 years.
We can decide at that point.
So that we'll probably bring that up to the Finance Committee.
Yeah, like Kathleen mentioned, that would be another reason to do a mid-year update on our budget. Because it would be looking at other categories to maybe move some professional development dollars into place.
So right now we've pretty much spent what we plan to spend in professional development.
Mm-hmm.
So if we wanted to do that, then we would want to look at that and see.
Is curriculum budget all the way spent?
What does
curriculum look like?
Well, that should follow the
curriculum. Yes. It's about where it was predicted to be at this point, but the 600 category includes more than just curriculum, so I'd have to look and specifically drill down and pull into that. But that is correct. We can look at that and see what's available there.
Or the college,
yeah.
Since it's college prep.
So anyway, that would be a really good thing to look at the different program areas that we could say this covers this.
A big chunk of the expense, from the sounds of it, is going to be that training, which would come out of professional development.
Yeah.
Okay. Any questions? Any comments? Any other reports? Enjoy more, Charlie.
I actually had a graduation one, but I wasn't sure how much time we had to do it. You know,
okay. I think that's the end of the. Agenda then. Unless there's any more questions.
I move that we adjourn.
All in favor of closing the board meeting, say yes.
Yes.
All opposed, say no. Okay, the board meeting's completed.